Good morning and shalom aleichem. I greet you with love in my heart. Thanks be unto God for the opportunity to share this space and time with you once more. May the Spirit of God open our eyes to see wonderful things in His Word, and may we gain a heart of wisdom with hands and feet of obedience to live wisely in these times. Amen. During our time together, over the next few weeks, I'd like us to engage the biblical text as a case study in crisis management and response. From the early 2020 to the present, the world has been hit by a series of crises, some of which have been described as unprecedented. While some have opted to debate that the COVID-19 pandemic is not the worst health crisis to face our own nation of Jamaica, there is hardly a dissenting voice suggesting that it is not justifiably labeled a crisis. Its entourage has included logistics and supply chain headaches, food insecurity, and economic headwinds. We are still in the throes of that crisis, and along came the Russia-Ukraine military and political crisis, with its immediate effect being the skyrocketing of fuel prices. That single factor has an immediate ripple effect on the cost of living, and there is not a facet of society that has not been impacted. The interest rate policy staff at the Bank of Jamaica have been kept busy as the inflation rate makes a steady climb, as if being lured by the Blue Mountain Peak. We feel it at the gas station, at the supermarket, at the markets, at the seaside when buying fish, and even at the roadside vendor when buying a bottle of water while in traffic. Any hopes that some may have harbored that the pandemic may have tempered the callousness of the criminals among us has vanished like the morning mist at sunrise. Crime and violence continued at pace throughout, causing many to remark that not even COVID could have stopped the gunmen. Their terror has been unleashed on children, pregnant women, the elderly, the worshipping, the partying, the security officers. There is enough around us and in the news to make us want to retreat to the hills or perhaps remain locked in an underground bunker. Those options, though, are not readily available. So face the crises we must. As I read through the Bible, it has struck me many times how transparent and authentic it is. The Bible presents us with the real and raw stories of the lived experience of persons just like us. Yes, people with blood in their veins just like us. People with tears and smiles, pain and grief, sweat and tiredness, just like us. The writer James, in particular, made sure to point that out in the 5th chapter. And he said, Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed that there would be no rain. A man just like us. So in setting the foundation for our series, allow me to make some broad observations on how we can position ourselves to deal with crises using the biblical template. The first is that we should shift our perspective. That is, how we view or think of crisis. You know, often, our default position is to see crisis from a fatalistic mindset. The counter option is to think of every crisis as an opportunity to experience God's intervention and an opportunity to reinvent ourselves along the lines of that which truly matters. Pride and self-sufficiency, for example, are tested and found lacking, insufficient in times of crisis. The SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19 brought us to the harsh reality that we are not as much in control as we like to think. It caused us to pause and re-evaluate our priorities and our values. In our present spate of crises and troubling realities, I want to suggest to us that we take some time out and harness the opportunity before us to slow down and look inwardly. This is a great time to ponder the existential question of eternal purpose. Who am I? And why am I here? On the flip side of the noise that tends to come with a crisis is that quiet place that invites us inwards. One of the best places in the scripture to help us see ourselves is in the 12 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. Many of our professions are represented there. Our educational and entrepreneurial pursuits are represented there. Our wrestling with the search for meaning and significance, self-worth and self-esteem, the definition of success and achievement, and ultimate destination are all present in this frank, dramatic, poetic book. The writer, Solomon, describes our story, our search for self and sense in a world filled with change, disappointment, curves, and pitfalls. At one point, he seems even to be on the brink of self-harm. In the end, though, he comes at us with an emphatic declaration that God is in control and that our best option is to live knowing that there is an accountability factor with which we must contend. In the closing of chapter 11 at verse 9, we hear him, "You who are young, make the most of your youth. Relish your youthful vigor. Follow the impulses of your heart. If something looks good to you, pursue it. But know also that not just anything goes. You have to answer to God for every last bit of it." This is the pivot from which we then hear the wise counsel worth deep pondering and action-altering decision. Honor and enjoy your Creator while you're still young. That is at the opening of chapter 12. Honor and enjoy your Creator while you're still young. And then as he closes the book, and closes chapter 12. He says, "The last and final word is this. Fear God. Do what he tells you. Will you?"